Well, Song Malone, thank you for singing Beulah Land tonight. You recognize on the platform William Huntley. We call him Buck Huntley. And I've known Brother Huntley most of my preaching life, 42 years now. And I appreciate this, dear brother. And we esteem him. He's a little bit older than I am. He doesn't look it, but he is. And a little bit along in the ministry. I've been preaching 42 years. He's past his 50 mark. And I respect him and esteem him as an elder. And by so doing, I'm expecting God to bless me, you know. I was taught to respect those that are older than I am. I was taught as a boy to respect the hoary head. And I was taught as a boy, when an older man is talking, to keep my mouth shut and listen. My dad taught me that, and I'd rise up tonight and call my dad blessed when he told me to listen to an older man always. And when I was a boy, I used to sit on the front porch and listen to my red-headed granddaddy and my daddy and my uncles. I'd sit on the piazza in the Sunday afternoon after the Sunday dinner and talk by the hour. And I'd sit on the floor and lean against the wall and sit on the step and look at them while they talked. I didn't dare open my mouth or say a word. And so I believe God honors a man that will respect an elder, especially in the Lord. And I think Buck Huntley is the dean of the elder Baptist preachers in our area. And I hope God will just add 15 years to his life at least. Let him preach a long time yet, if it's God's will. And Brother Huntley, it's our joy to have you at Tabernacle tonight. I want the ushers to have the offering pans at each one of the doors. When we leave the church, I want us to give a love offering to this dean of the Baptist preachers in the Blue Ridge Mountain areas. It's our honor to have you at Tabernacle tonight, please.
Thank you, Brother Silas. Humbles my heart to be here tonight. I'm happy to be here. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. I want to say with Brother Silas, I'm happy that my father taught me to keep my mouth closed when the elder folks was talking. We weren't allowed to call them by their names. We either didn't call them Mister, we had to call him aunt and uncle. I have a lot of people yet to say, is he really your uncle? I said, no, he's just older than I am. I always call him Uncle John or Uncle Henry. I just kind of taught me to do that. It's so glorious to be here tonight. Not only to try to preach or to preach, but to be in this great church. I have had the privilege to watch it grow, move on for all these years, 31 years. And what a privilege. What an honor. Never shall I forget what Dr. Sattler said to me when he planned to start. He said, I want to build a church. That'll be an honor to old-time religion. That's what he said. That's what he's done. Devil's fault and preachers is cussed. I told a young fellow a while ago, he told me them preachers getting all tangled up and couldn't have you for a camp meeting. I said, some of them mean them bootleggers. Preachers. Say amen. You don't know them like I know them. You don't know them. I'm not talking about the real fellas, but my. It'd take me a long time to tell you all I know about some of them. And I don't take time to tell you. Got too many things, so much pressure. You want to forget that anyhow. Preachers get in a confusion, have to call a man, cancel a meeting. They want to jump up and down and say, well, don't God do something? Now, I can tell you a lot of reasons why he don't do some things. What are you all getting so quiet about? I'm just talking. Tell you how it is. Now I want to say something else. I appreciate all the children in this auditorium tonight. This year, now it's like what Dr. Fry said, well, I'm going to get too north, so there's a nursery back there. But this thing keeping them in the nursery until they're 4 or 5 years old and turn them out here, they won't know how to act. My mother taught me to be a nice boy, and I don't even remember it. Didn't have it in the nursery at the old country church. I cut my teeth probably on the back of an old country church seat. She said I was the meanest of the 11. There's 11, 7 boys and 4 girls. She said I was the roughest of all of them, but she handled me. I saw a little fellow the other day. In fact, he's a grandson, great-grandson of my mother. He's cutting up about 3 years old, 4. I said, boy, how he needs my mother. Well, she's in heaven now. She can't take care of him. But she could really tune him up. Fix him up right nice. Make him set up and be a nice little fella. I noticed this little fellow here a while ago, this little black bow on, boy. He's bouncing around over there. I said, isn't that glorious to have those children sitting in here? Yeah, they're singing. Watch these old men of God walk around and weep. They'll wonder, what's the matter with that fella? You'll find out one day. Keep him around. I remember the revival of 1916. Well, I was just a little old chunk of a boy. I'm going to preach in a few minutes, but see, I've got old enough to make a speech before I preach. But anyhow, in the 1916, figure how long it's been. My great uncle was preaching, and there was a preacher in the schoolhouse church that got knocked down in the flood. And there was a stage all the way across that building. And it took about all that stage for this uncle, great uncle of mine. And I was just a little old, chunky boy. And he preached. And I was taught to be real reverent and be quiet. And he made what is known as an altar call. I didn't know what was happening. Some people went down the front. Grown people. Middle-sized people. And about around the altar. In fact, they got up there hugging each other's necks. And a few of the old saints shouting and crying. And I looked over on the wall, standing over against the wall, was my grandfather, Williams, my mother's father. With a big old red handkerchief out of weeping. Civil War veteran. And I was just a little boy, and I said, I wonder who's hurt Grandpa's feelings. You got it? I found out. Keep them in the auditorium. Let them watch the saints walk the aisles. Thank God, I'm so glad. I'm so glad, Brother Sight, we hadn't tried to cool off. God, have mercy on these preachers. I got up last Monday night at the Jubilee overnight for Brother Last Church. It was packed out. The preacher preached. He preached wonderful. I said to the young preachers, you preachers, stay around here. You might find out how to get out of here. I said, you might find out how to make up your mind what course you're going and what label you want to tie on to, which crowd you want to get in. You can't find your way. I said, just do like Brother Joe Parsons said, get on your knees and go with God. Or go as deep in the machine as you can and die with ulcers. Whichever one you want to do. Or be independent and go with God. How y'all like that speech? Amen. It's glory. The time and favor to tell it all. But I do praise God's tabernacle. Praise God for Brother Silas. For what God's done for him. And for those that make up the church. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I praise the Lord for it. You know what a fellow said to me before, about the time he started this church? There's a preacher now. Don't ask me who he was. I'm not going to tell you. He said, Brother Silas about done in Greenville. That's his hometown. Said nobody can get along in the hometown. I said, no, I think it's just getting started. Looks that way, don't it? And you know, Brother Siler, I have almost itched to walk up to that guy still. I don't feel know him. And say, how's Brother Siler getting along? But you know, you can't be mean. You got to be nice. I see him pretty often. How's Brother Silas getting along? I love to say that. Say, do you remember what you told me one time a long time ago? Lord God. Let me tell you something. When God constitutes a church, hear me now real quickly, in a man of God's heart and a few of his people, you can hang around and watch God work. Because God obligates himself to see approved. And he said, I'll be there. Glory to God. To own and to bless. That's God not only own us, but to bless us. While he's on him. That's the book. Now, if you start without God, if God didn't tell you to start, you run into a storm, go ask the Lord what to do. He'll say, you quit any time you want to. I never told you to start it. That'll be about your answer. That's what you'll get for the answer. I'm happy to be here. He's done announced about the Blue Ridge camp meeting. Get in it if you can. We'll be happy to have all of you. No, don't all of you come. We ain't got room for you. We got some more people coming. Brother Hayes, great preacher. I'm grateful. I'm like Brother Sightler said today at the camp meeting. It does something for we preachers that's been battling for 50 years, 40, 50 years, to see God raise up fellows like Brother Hayes and others and get their feet down on the earth and get up and say, turn to the Word of God. Start telling you, expounding the Word of God. That kind of tells you that there's going to be somebody around when we're out yonder in the cemetery if the Lord doesn't come. Still preaching. God ain't going out of business. He's been in business a long time. He's in business before you got here. He's been in a long time. He's not going out. Hey, I thought I'd run around and holler the church is going down. Which one are you reading about? What one are you talking about? God said there's a church. He foreordained it before the world was. To trot through here, Get out of here, catch up, and get out in the rapture. Can't go down, it's got to go up. That's the church.
Glory. Thank you. Now, one fellow said, a lot of preachers say, pray for me while I'm preaching. He said he wanted you to listen. He said he didn't want you to be disturbed to pray, but I want you to pray. Because I've been trying to preach going 51 years, and I'm more conscious right now than I've ever been in my life. I can't preach nothing that will amount to anything if God don't get on me. And I'm candidate. He wants to get on me. I won't run. Because I told my people this morning, this crowd don't pay my light bill. They don't buy my groceries. This outfit that don't like God, they don't do it. I said, the saints take care of me and the Lord. You got it? And I've done too far up the road now to try to please this outfit. Amen? I'm not going to preach long. I'm going to talk right smart. I want you to turn in your Bibles. A lot of things others I'd like to say, but I ain't got time. Turn in your Bibles to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. I like this singing tonight, Brother Horn. I appreciate you as a songist.
Yes.
Amen. Well, you know, we ought to learn as to why to appreciate the saints.
Right.
Somebody would have to live to be a half a hundred before you find it out. But as you get to getting over the hill, kind of, you begin to appreciate the saints. You appreciate the soldiers in the battle. Me and us doing something for God, you'll be at least kind enough to walk around once in a while and say, Brother Horn, appreciate where you're leading the floor. Wouldn't hurt you to say that. Amen. That wouldn't have a program tonight, but it got in here somehow or another. Say to this here young fellow just sung that last song, Brother Stephen, Brother Hobart over here. Appreciate you, Brother Hobart. I'm telling you, it wouldn't hurt you to do that. It wouldn't hurt you once in a while to walk up and tell your preacher how you appreciate it. Even if you knocked you off the seat this morning. Walk up tonight and tell him, bless God, I appreciate you. Amen. I wish you'd go to reading. No, all right, I will. Fourth chapter and the last two verses. I want to start with the 17th verse. This is what Paul had to say. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Boy, that's great. You see, you can't understand that if you haven't had a revelation through the person of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been born again, you can't understand what Paul's talking about. You know, over in 1 Corinthians, Paul said the natural man receiveth not the things of God. He don't get in on it. And unless God reveals it to him through the person of the Holy Ghost, he'll never understand it. He'll never see it. And then we spend so much time trying to explain to people that don't know anything about God. And unless the Holy Ghost gives them a revelation, they'll never see it. And that's the only way you can understand that I just read to you. And how glorious that is. Now watch him go into the fifth chapter and see what he says. While we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Following this, we've grown earnest and desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath brought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnestness of spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that for the presence or absent we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but to give you an occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in the appearance and not in the heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if Christ died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I believe I'll stop us correct. I read it, verse 17 of the 5th chapter. Will you bow your heads for a moment? Our Father, we thank thee that we're privileged to be here at this moment. And we're keenly conscious that we're standing behind this sacred desk where some of the greatest men in this country has preached. And this great pastor, God's man. And we come out here, my Father, I praying that the blessed Holy Spirit of God will direct our thoughts and our minds tonight as we endeavor to speak. We're here, Lord, to help the saints, and that Jesus may be glorified, and the sinners, if they be here, hear about him. And we'll get under conviction and come home to God. Take us, our Heavenly Father, use us for thy glory, and we'll praise you forever in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about the kind of redemption we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. What wonderful redemption it is. That's a large text. Now, I used to when I was a young preacher. I thought if I could get a large text, a big text, I didn't know God. He said, all you boys back there don't want to go to hell, come down front. That's the way he made an altar call. He didn't handle no gloves. He just threw the gloves back and threw it out there. He said, you don't want to go to hell, come on down here. Well, anybody didn't want to go to hell, we went down front. Somebody said, if we got, some of us got saved, he trapped us. I said, thank God for the trap. You got it? We got out the front and he said, get on your knees for one prayer. He said, you don't have to, but said, you ought to get on your knees for one prayer. We're going to pray. And I got on my knees and it wounded my pride. I wasn't worth a penny. I was in the 30s. I didn't have any money. It wouldn't make no difference if I had. But it tore my heart all to pieces. See, I was under conviction. Thank God for that. I was under conviction. And them old preachers, thank God for them. They're all hitting tonight. They wasn't in no hurry to go nowhere and to get home at all. There wasn't nothing impossible there to get out and get home. You got it? They stayed. They sung. They prayed. They talked. And the Holy Ghost kept beating on my soul. My Lord, I don't know why it was. It took me so long to get through. I guess it's stubbornness or something. But anyhow, after a while, I want you to know the Holy Ghost led me right up to Calvary. Glory to God. And that old preacher started. It wasn't no, didn't even have an organ, didn't have a piano, nothing. He used a little old tune for it once in a while, whatever he used it. He pitched them like the old mountaineers did, do 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 me so do. That'd run the devil outdoors. Now no instrumental in them. Do 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 me so do. That's what's called catch pitch. And he started. And he sung, I don't know what all, but he started singing a little song. By and by when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We'll tell a story how we overcome. We will understand it better. Bang, bang. And I remember whispering to the Lord, Lord, if you don't save me, I'll be in hell and won't be there to tell it. Now, buddy, when conviction gets you to that place, you're getting about ready to start Calvary. Glory to God. And I used to say something, said it, but it was the Holy Ghost. Said, if I save you, will you tell it? And I raised my face to say yes. And bless God, I didn't get yes out of my mouth, yes out of my heart. Beat me. And the work was done. Nobody had to pull me up and say, he said, they said, she said, they said, he felt better. Bless God, they knew something happened. Glory to God. The burden of my sin rolled away. And that little old church, Brother Simon, had never been painted on any side. Just had a little old ceiling and a little pot stove and smoked everything up. Little old lamps are sitting down the wall, kind of like those lights over there. Lord God, when I got up and looked around, I've never in all of my days seen them on a beautiful auditorium than that wall that night. Oh, glory to God. I knew I say, everybody don't have the same kind of experience. But how glorified am I going to? The salvation is born in heaven. You can't explain it, but you know when it happens, that something's happened. That's why Brother Simon said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That is to show forth the praise of him
Who has called you? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory to God, I'm glad he called. I'm glad he hollered. Hey, everybody don't believe what I believe, and I don't believe what everybody else believes, so that makes it seem. But I believe in God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, hollers loud enough, you're coming. Amen. I had one lady tell me she didn't have to come. That's what you come for. Amen. I know a little boy got under conviction, and he said, let us kick you. He said, well, now he was terribly under conviction. He said, he laid down to rest a little bit, and he said, somehow or another, he put his hands up like this on his breast, and he looked at his head, said, oh, Lord God. He said, I look like a corpse. Hey, man, he jerked him off his breast like quick. Under conviction. Boy, I tell you right now, somebody said, I don't know anything to shout about it. I'm going to shout about conviction and nothing else. It's God. Oh, God! Sadia! Holy Ghost conviction! Jesus said, when he's come, he'll reprove the world! I'll see out of the judgment to come! That's not the Holy Ghost going to shake you over the judgment, toward the judgment. You go looking for God. This kind of salvation. That's God that we find in Jesus. There's something else about it. It's one you know about. I want to talk about this just a minute. It's one you know about. It's a reality. Old brother Job, a long time ago, said, I know my Redeemer liver. And he's just sat on the earth in the latter days. Old brother Job had a hope for this God. That's the latter days. That was that he's coming the first time. Job was talking about it. Wasn't the second time. The second time of the Lord, he's talking about he's going to hear the first time. He said he'll sat on the earth in the latter days. And he said, he's coming. And he said, he's going to redeem me. So that the skin worms have done got and said, I'm going to see God in the flesh. Hey, man! And did glory to God. Listen, did you know? Hold your seat a minute. When Jesus died on the cross, he went down, thank God, to where the patriarch was, picked up the credit cards, and said, boys, it's paid for, let's go. Glory! What he done. Hallelujah. There used to be an old preacher, and our country brother Cassandra, he'd say, you know them Old Testament boys saved on the credit. And I was trying to get them saved for the law. He's right. They were saved on the credit. Amen. They sure were. Amen. These all died. Let's just read the Bible. It'll tell you. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. Were persuaded of it, and embraced it, and died. And went glory to God. When Jesus died, he went down and kicked up the credit card and said, boy, it's paid for. Come on here! Let's get out of here. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You sucker up, you're on the right the throne of God, paradise. Paul said he first descended down, then he ascended. Led captive captivity up on high. I don't want to take scripture out of the setting and don't do that if I can help it. I think there's a place in Psalms, and every time I read it, I think of it. Where it said, open up your gates, the King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts is coming in. And somehow or another, I always look at the patriarchs getting up with he who had done conquered death and hell and the grave. I think he got, are you listening? And hold out, open up the gates! Glory, the King of Hosts! The Lord of Glory is coming in. Wonderful, isn't it? Don't feel sorry for me. Lord, have mercy. It's one you know about. Old brother Paul said, I know in whom I believe. I'm not guessing about it. Boy, if you guess about it, you ought to be on me on Damascus Road. When I was stuck, I used to preach this. Listen to this. Thank God. Isn't God wonderful? He looks over our ignorance and everything else. He don't excuse it always, though. Now, don't you hang up on that note. I get so sick of hearing these preachers been fumbling around for 20 years, get up and say, the Lord knew I was ignorant. You don't have to tell people you're ignorant. They don't know it. And don't hang on that note all the time, because God don't excuse your ignorance. He said he winked at man's ignorance one time, but now he commanded to follow me and never would repent, including preachers. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Glory to God. How wonderful and how marvelous. He's so sitting there by, you don't have to go do that. Oh, how glorious. And God looked, got a hold of us. When we was way out somewhere without him. We were ignorant without him. But when he brought us in, I seen God take so many fellows that didn't have much culture, as far as culture, and make giants out of them. Made giants. You know what? Done it? The Holy Ghost. And Paul said, I know whom I believe. And if you'd been with Paul on Damascus Road, and I used to say this, I said a while ago, a moment ago, when I was a young preacher, that Paul was riding his horse down Damascus Road. One day I went in to hunt that horse and I hadn't found him yet. I couldn't find him. I was doing some good preaching. It done good. It preached all right. Bless God, I said, Paul got pulled off his horse, dipped in dust, and rode to Damascus. You ought to heard it. It was a good sermon. Well, he might have been riding the chariot. I don't know. He might have been walking. But anyhow, I do know one thing. Bless God, he struck to the earth. And there was a light from heaven. He shot from his own soul. That was brighter than the noonday sun. The Lord had a conversation with him. Now, I don't know what you fellas get him saved from that, where you got, but I read every commentary I could get a hold of, tried to tell me where he got saved. It's a controversy. It's an argument. Where he got saved. But one day, I found it. And I was in Calvary Baptist Church one night preaching. It wasn't day, it was night. In Marshtown, Tennessee, and the Holy Ghost revealed it to me, and I had a spell, and those folks didn't know what I was having it about. But I was having it. The Lord knew. Amen. If you go to 15th chapter of Corinthians, you'll find exactly where he's at. Paul talks about how the Lord appeared to the disciples, how he appeared to James, and how he appeared to 500, and so last of all, he appeared to me as one born out of this season on Damascus Road. If he'd have been a Paul on Damascus Road, you'd have had to agree. And you know what? Another reason I believe he stayed on Damascus Road, the phone is not that for your theologians now. Another reason I believe he stayed on Damascus Road, when Ananias got there, he said, Brother Paul, listen at it, the Lord Jesus has appeared to thee in the way, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And those boys didn't call unredeemed man a brother. Right. I just got into that and had to get out of it. That's all I know how. But you go ask Paul if he knew where he got saved. And every time, listen at him, when he stood before King Agrippa, he said, King Agrippa, as I was journeying on Damascus Road, he told his experience. And he said, I want to tell you something. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Bless God, he said, I've been a witness in both the small and the great, and say no other thing than the prophet should have happened. He knew it, Paul knew, that he got saved. And where he got saved. How marvelous and how glorious that is. And here's one, a lot of people don't agree with me on, about this wonderful redemption. You can't never get over it. You can't never get over it. And you got that the second time, didn't you? I'm giving it to you the third time. You can't never get over it. I've seen fellas run out like they're going to take the country, you know, and the first thing you know, it's over. But just hold on a little bit. Let me give you something. The reason you can't get over it, there has been a divine change wrought by a divine God. And what God does is forever. And no man can add to it, and no man can take it away from anything away from it. Amen. Now hold just a moment. You may get out of fellowship, but you can't never break relationship. You can leave off your prayer and praying and get out of fellowship. You'd be like the fellow I know is in heaven tonight. He's 17 years old and his father took we call it a brush up in the mountains. You all may call it a switch down here. But then he'll take care of a 17-year-old boy if you put it on him. And he whipped him. And he said, I pounded for 3 days. So I'd speak to my daddy. His name was Kamak. But he was still a Kamak, wasn't he? He hadn't broke relationship. He broke fellowship. And said one morning, seeing his dad looking over the farm, standing up with him over the farm, and he said, I was dying to get back to fellowship. He said, I got down, said, I wouldn't even walk out on the porch. I said, I went out in the yard, walked around down on the ground. Looked up at him and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, son, if you told me that, I wouldn't whip you. You got it? Back in fellowship. We sing that old song a lot of times, Lord, I'm coming home for sinners. No, that's somebody out of fellowship. The sinner's never been home yet. That's somebody got out of fellowship. Open wide your arms of love. I'm tired of this, Lord. Saying, I'm coming home. Coming back to fellowship. You haven't got over yet. I know a fellow one time, he was a businessman, got in the lumber business. And he got away from the Lord. He got saved at 16 years old in an old-fashioned August revival. And said, I got so busy in that world, I begin to ask myself, what did them old preachers do to me at that old-fashioned revival? And he's about to have another breakdown, him 40 years old. He went back home, his father done gone to heaven, his mother still living, and her elder woman, old. He said, he went back to 78, got him a, they called it supper up in the mountains. And so, he said, when they got through supper, he said, Mother, he said, you may think strange of this, but said, I want you, when I go upstairs and go to bed, I want you to go up there and check the cover like you did when I was a boy. I said, I want you to lay your hands on my head and pray again for me like you did when I was a boy. You get it? He said, after a while, he heard Mother coming up the steps, feebly low, feeling away. She came up there and kind of checked the cover like she did when he was a boy. She got out under the bed, laid her hand on his head, started praying on his brow. He said, Mother didn't get prayer, preacher. Now, this man told me this out of his own mouth. He said, Mother didn't get prayer, and I took the prayer away from her. He said, it wasn't long till I knew what that old preacher's done. But I felt the power again. But I felt the fellowship. But I felt God. I'm talking about you can't get over it. Just don't get over it. Let me give you one. I ran into a preacher a while back. He said to me, he said, Huntley? I said, yep. He said, I used to run up and down the aisles and hoop and fall around. I said, I've got over it. I said, you have? I said, yeah. Well, I said, I'm not looking for your school. I'm not inquiring. I'm not looking for your school. And I said, if you was right when you run up and down the aisles and shouted and preached, I said, you're a hypocrite now. And if you was wrong then, you're a hypocrite then. So straighten up whichever place you want to straighten up. I'm not looking for your school. Well, this outfit come up here thinking you're cooling me off. I got over it. God have mercy. Isn't that pitiful? You can cool off a little bit, but for a preacher to come out and say, I've got over it. Or just be getting the next gear by now. I'd like Brother Ed Kirkus, God said, this crowd running around saying it's about all over. He said, bless God, the party's just fixing to get started. Yep, just crank it up. Amen. When the prodigal son came home, the Bible said, they begin to make merry. One old man of God said, if they be gone, what's the end going to be when we all get home? Can't get over it. Amen. Thank God. It's a divine change. That's what's the glorious about it. Nothing else satisfies. Amen. If you ever tried the world since you had a touch of God, you'll feel like a catfish in a bar patch. That's the way you'll feel. You're out of place out yonder. Some of you go out there and tried it and said, my Lord, this will never do. The world said, there he is, here she is. She belongs to tabernacle. She belongs to some other way. You're supposed to be a church. Didn't you feel like a whipped puppy? You're not comfortable out there. Don't tell me. If you, I am afraid of your redemption. Amen. Because God has said in the King James, everyone he receiveth discharges him. And he said, if you would act trust out of it, you don't belong to God. Your baptism are not sons. That's what the book said. And he said, if he love you, he'll chasten you. Woo! Glory! That's God. I've had him take a brush to me a few times, take me by the hand, and warm me up real good. Huh? That's a country word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't tell you all before I preached, I just got out of the hospital the other day. Four doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with me. I was so tore up and so bad off till they had a stomach pump on me for 3 days. And finally, one of the doctors came in there and said, my family doctor said, Huntley, we're going to have to cut you open and look in you. I said, I said, Well, I said, if x-ray don't show anything, he said, he can't find a thing wrong. Ain't a thing wrong, so we can't find nothing. Well, I said, God could have come through this room. I said, he could have been through here. I said, you didn't cut me open. But anyhow, I'm getting better. I'm climbing. I lost 14 pounds of weight. That's my favor. That's how sick I was. What are you doing now, Huntley? I understand you're enjoying the Lord. How are you doing? They said they found some tissues on the heart. They said it's old. The doctor started out by quitting somebody running mouth. I couldn't say what I want to say. I want to say, Doc, do you think that a man can preach 50 years to Baptist and not have any scars on his heart? Hey, man. I thank God they're on now. I'm going to take him to Jesus. You listening? You'll never know what a preacher has his heart thumped on. Oh, Lord God, how do we get on that? They say about this redemption, it works. Oh, Lord God. It brings people from the life of sadness to a life of gladness. That's what it does. Brings them out of darkness into light. Brings them, bless God, from sighing to singing. It worked when my mother was left a widow. My baby brother, my youngest brother, who's now 55 years old, was only 3 months old. And I overheard my mother say, that was the day when we got the news that Daddy passed away as a result of a truck wreck. She said, well, I tried to give all the children to God. But said, here's this baby 90 days old. Said, I am going to really give him to God. I'm going to really give him to God. I'll have to. You know what? Let me give you this right quick. It's working then. It's working. When his 10 children are waiting for their father to come in a pine box, it worked. Are you listening real careful? I asked my mother a few years before she passed away. I said, Mother, how many whippers did you give away? That's that baby now, it was 90 days old. She said, I gave him 2 licks. And said, it hurt him so much, I had to pet him. That was again Mama's homology. She never whipped him, petted you, she let you pat it out. Couldn't pout too much, she'd give you nothing. But she had to pet Wade. And Wade went to the seas in World War II. I heard him tell this time at the time. They'd tie up at the shore. The lot of boys would hit those wild joints. And something would say to him, he wasn't redeemed. Your mama wouldn't want you to go in there, son. And he wouldn't go. Oh, he's a fine fella. He's one of the finest fellas he's seen, my youngest brother. God saved him after he got back from the war. In the 47 revival. We prayed all night one night. Thing wouldn't break, and this thing was packed with old ex-soldiers. A little home church. I thought about this thing works. And I said, I've got some brothers that God brought back from the war. They're down here drinking, raising hell. I've been preaching here for 20 years. God's got to break in on them. I asked all the saints to help me pray for them. I said, we're going to pray all night tonight. All of you want to stay, to stay. If you don't want to stay, go home. Of course, other people had to go, but we had a good company to stay. We didn't pray all night. God came about 3 o'clock in the morning. We shouted around till daylight. And they were saints are fasting and praying. And it was a Baptist church, thank you. You mention fasting, you think you're Pentecostal Church of God. Some of them do fast. Baptists fast and they get hungry enough for God. And I didn't know that there's so many saints are fasting as there were. So I started to tell you about this saint. She got up and started down the aisle that morning about 4 o'clock shouting. She said, I see them coming in droves. The next day I went up on the mountain, way above the little old church, and laid up there and prayed all day about it. Along about the middle of the afternoon, I heard something and I looked around as a deacon of that little church at home, my whole home church. He comes slipping through the bushes and he said, I told Annie, that was his wife, I'd find you on this mountain. We had no walkie-talkies and no telephones. Can't God do business? He said, I'll find him on, and I hadn't told him nobody. I was going. But the Lord said, Hunt was on that mountain yonder. He said, I don't have a brother to pray for, but said, I sure want to help you pray for yours. Laid down in the weeds and the grass with him, wept and prayed. Went back to church that night and I preached best I could. There they were, standing, so many of them. Not room for them all to get in and sit down. Got through, I turned to the girl, organ, piano, I said, sound near my God to thee, let them hear it. I said, that's what we play sometimes, we roll them down, the feet's coming first. Waiters back over here, there wasn't no aisle again, a little church, just 2 aisles down like this. He got up right back over yonder and walked out and walked down the front. That morning at 2 o'clock, he promised God, if you'll let me live till tonight. He said, now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. If you let me go to sleep and live till the night, I'll be the first in at the front when they offer to make an altar call. He was. He was. And this brother kid of mine, he stands up tall as this tall as me. He's standing at the back. He's hard to move. He's been in the army in the war. He's been in the army since 35. Come on through the war. He's standing there, his hands folded. I'm talking about this thing works. I walked back to him and I said, Ted, if you made up your mind to go to hell, hell me tonight. I go down to the front and tell everybody, Mother, all the saints to call for the prayers for you. And he was hard to move. He's hard. You may not believe it. He howled like a coyote. That takes the Holy Ghost.
What'd he do?
He headed to the front. He headed to the front.
Glory to God. It worked. The mother was praying for all of us. It certainly did. I told him the other night, Brother Raps, Trinity Baptist Church, I said, my brother Ted, I found him in the side ditch drunk, picked him up like a sack of potatoes on my shoulder, laid him in the car and took him home. I said, you're going to hear him preach tonight. Stands there as a monument of the grace of God. Preaching on the power of the Holy Ghost, blazing the wholeness, blazing. He said the other night when he was preaching, he said, how long has it been since you heard some old preacher get up and say, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, these fellows nowadays are praying. He said, I know what happened to me. Said, an old chest shell over around the ridge where we boys all prayed. We had an old chest that was that large. It broke off up there about the top of the cedar. Went out like that. You could be there when it rained if you wanted to. And that's where a lot of us settled it all. And that's where you crawled into that old chest and said, God, I'm convinced there's another country that I ain't got in. And he said, Lord, I'm a candidate. Said, fill me when you want to. You know what happened? He's leading the singing at the little country church. And he got up that morning to sing, and while he was singing, God filled him. He took one out and he didn't park up the other. It works! It works! Yeah. Well, I'm not sure I'm just going to uncouple. Time's over.
May we stand together with every head bowed, every eye closed.